T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, it's practically 10, but whatever. Sal joining us on the Western Hotline because we want to follow up on the discussion about the schedule. And Sal is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place by case. What's your outlet? I guess good morning, Sal. How are you? Even though we just
Good afternoon. How are you, man?
That's good. Hey, good know what? We're just trying to catch up to Newfoundland. They're 90 minutes ahead of us.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm just trying to. All right. Anyway.
Well, there are some areas of the country that do not observe, daylight savings time. So maybe, you know, who knows? Who knows what time it is anymore?
We're in that limbo area. Yeah. Before we get it, we do want to talk to you about Mike North, who was on your podcast, but I wanted you to share some news, Sal Sports and stuff. Brayton just referred to that in the update. You are zooming up the sports on iTunes charts, apparently.
I need to buy Mike North a beer. I need to buy Mike North a beer or a case.
Long conversation. He gave you a lot of time. It was interesting to listen to.
Well, he can talk. He really can, and it's great. I love listening to him talk about the schedule. But the reason I say that is because, obviously, it's a popular podcast when I have him on. There's no doubt. And but overall, I noticed this morning I was alerted. The podcast itself, guys, right now, I've been kind of aiming for that to be, kind of get a little bit higher up and be featured in some way, but it's now ranked number 110 in the world via iTunes. So that's really cool. And it's not just the episode, the show itself, however those algorithms go, whether that's downloads, listens, I don't know how they determine that and those kinds of things, but it's pretty cool to see, up there with the main, podcasts around the country of, the ESPNs and of the world and whatever else podcasts people listen to. But I got to thank Mike North. Obviously, without that podcast and people downloading and being interested, that wouldn't happen. I don't think they're listening for me necessarily, but it's really cool to see either way.
I wasn't. I was just listening for Mike North.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, that's all. This last one, that's all it is. But again, you hit the nail on the head. I could listen to this guy read a phone book about the NFL schedule, and just basically it doesn't matter. If he's just kind of going through in week one, in week two, I would listen to him talk about it.
Do you think the Bills are going to get the max 5 games? There were 8 teams last year when the schedule came out that got 5 primetime games. The Bills were not one of those. But do you think that'll be the case this year?
I do. I mean, with 17 games especially, you have that extra game in there. I think 5, that you're banking on, you can't go over it. You can't set an over-under. What's the over-under? 4.5? Is it 4? Probably over-under would be 4 if you set it. 4, I think, is almost a lock at this point.
Yep.
I think 5 is possible, though. It's not a lot of teams get 5. Kansas City did last year, I think. We're talking putting on the schedule 5 times, not the flex and things like that.
Right.
Tampa, right? So maybe 4. I don't know. 5 still seems really high for any team. Now, it might be where they get 4 prime time, but then other national window games, however that may work.
Yep.
So there's other ways to do this here.
Yeah, I was curious. The top candidates for prime time, he brought up some games with you. He mentioned, both New England's. I think he brought up New Orleans. He brought up Kansas City as an obvious choice, Tampa. And I think later on in your podcast, he even brought in Pittsburgh, I believe, as a possible primetime opponent.
Yeah, those were the teams he mentioned the most. Kansas City, Tampa, Pittsburgh, New England, and New Orleans. And he mentioned New Orleans a couple times, and I kept thinking, boy, is he telling us something that New Orleans game is going to be a primetime game? He mentioned all of them. You know, New England, obviously, I can't see them playing twice in primetime, but you never know. You might get a primetime and a national window game. They do have those Saturday games later in the year, remember?
Yep.
Those usually don't get put in there except later when they decide. You know, the Bills did play in that window a couple of different times. The last 2 years, once Denver last year, once New England the year before. Yeah, there's some definite candidates on there. The other thing is, I kind of got the feeling that he was hinting at, I don't know if you heard this part of it or was paying attention necessarily when he was talking about it. I was getting kind of a feeling that he was almost hinting at Washington being the opener for the Bills.
I did. Okay. I mean, I was paying attention and writing notes because I forget everything, but I didn't. What made you think that?
Well, he mentioned that particular way we were talking about
the crossovers and everything.
And then he even said he mentioned something. It came up randomly that, like in the same sentence almost, that Washington in week one, you know, would be a good spot for them or interesting. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's trying to tell me something here.
I thought what was interesting, you know, a year ago when you had him on, it was the networks are now telling the schedule makers, we want Buffalo. And I mean, that hadn't happened in forever. And it's almost like it went another step this year with the conversation. It wasn't just, yes, the networks want the Bills, but he specifically said they're looking for Bills home games.
Yeah, and that's because obviously a return to the stadium for fans, and hopefully that's the case, right? That fans are going to be there. It's going to be packed stadiums. And I think the NFL is planning on hopefully having packed stadiums around the league. But you think about Buffalo specifically. Fans weren't allowed in that stadium last year until a certain percentage, a very low percentage in the playoffs.
Right.
Getting back in that stadium with that team in this environment and how excited everybody's going to be, that is made for TV. It really is. Jeremy had a great, I think Jeremy phrased it perfectly earlier in your program, which is through the drought, the Bills have kind of, what'd you say? They built it up through the fan base, right? They built up the team through the fan base almost because it became a thing. Bills Mafia became a thing.
That was the Dallas Dallas game that Mike North referred to as.
Yes.
Like it was just, you know, the stadium, the fans, that wasn't about the team at that point playing Dallas.
And, you know, they had a good road crowd there too, but the optics of it. One thing I really took away from speaking with Mike, guys, is they really do take into account everything, including like, oh, how nice would it be in Kansas City playing Green Bay when snow is falling, like he said, you know, in December. Stadiums. You know, there were two new stadiums last year, L.A. and Vegas, but there weren't fans in them. The NFL's kind of treating them like new stadiums again this year because they want to get games where fans are there to showcase that for the first time. So that matters. And yeah, they want to get the Bills not only on primetime, but they want to showcase Bills Mafia. They want to showcase the fans rooting on that team now that they're finally good.
I thought, you know, we're zeroing in this morning on the whole Thursday night season opener and whether, you know, fans would want to see the Bills play Tampa in the opener. I've got some people for it, some people against it. And I wanted you to cover a couple things. When you asked him whether they're in that conversation, what did he say? But to further the discussion, Sal, the idea of that opener, I thought him explaining it was interesting that, hey, it's almost like it's the opener. Let's not waste a good matchup with Tampa. Let's save that opponent because everybody's watching opening night anyway.
You don't need a really good team to draw eyeballs to the Thursday night opener because there's already going to be a massive audience.
Yeah.
Could you get a little bump with the Dallas Cowboys or the Buffalo Bills compared to the Atlanta Falcons or the Carolina Panthers? Probably. But you're still going to have a floor anyway that resonates. It's still opening night. It's still the NFL kickoff season, kickoff game. It's still raising the banner for the home team. It's still Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, right? So you don't need to, hey, who should we put there to make sure we get eyeballs? You're going to get those eyeballs anyway. And then on top of that, if you use that game, that's one less game you have later when both teams might be in a playoff chase and it matters a little bit more to put on a primetime spot or in a national window or flex it or something like that. So, you know, I think all teams on the Buccaneers home schedule are in play. Now, that doesn't mean that they all have equal amount of chance. You know, I probably couldn't see the Bears as much as I could see the Bills, obviously. But I could see the Bears in a scenario, you know what I mean, just because Chicago's a big market anyway, and there's a curiosity there maybe with them. I think about New Orleans for this. He mentioned specifically New Orleans is a very curious team in week one, especially because there's no Breeze for the first time. And by the way, if Jameis Winston starts, now it's Winston against his former team.
Oh, Tampa, that's right. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Hey, I also think, too, Sal, the whole concept of night games, and I probably should change it. Instead of just saying night games, national window games, because as you pointed out earlier, this isn't just how many times are they on Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, but this is how many times are they in the national window, which would include the 4:25 Sunday afternoon games. And I said to Jeremy earlier, they could have maybe only half the schedule Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is the new norm, right? We went 15 plus years and you could lock in the Bills are playing Sunday at 1 o'clock all season. But I think fans, if you're not used to it by now, last season was the beginning. This last season's the new norm for the Bills, right? With the schedule.
Yeah. I think going forward it is. He did make the point of, you know, what 10, 15 years ago, they kind of made the mistake, I guess, but I mean, I don't think you thought it was a mistake at the time, but Cleveland looked like it was going to be better, mm-hmm. and they started putting them on more of those primetime games, and then they weren't good, and you know that hurt them. So I don't think that anybody's afraid of that happening with the Bills, but when you say new normal, obviously they'd have to sustain the success. Yes, I think going forward, and he made a big point a few times about, he said, we're in this business, we're not supposed to root. He said, but I hope Josh Allen plays a long time because he's super exciting and he's good and people want to watch him. So I think as long as that happens and the Bills are in this conversation for best team in the division, challenging for a conference championship, this is going to be the new normal. And by the way, that could include international games as well. One thing I kind of regret is I didn't ask him specifically about international games, but the league is planning, I think, on going back to international games, possibly even this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bills could be in that mix. Every team's going to be in the mix eventually. They're going to play because of the way the NFL is going to work it. Every team's got to play an international game at least once every 8 years. But I think that's something that you start thinking about as well, where that's going to be a very, you know, it's going to be a flexible game for you to have to kind of go back and forth between times and time zones and things like that.
You know, in the discussion of the schedule and primetime games and all that, one of the things Jeremy and I were talking about earlier, Sal, and I'm curious to see how the league looks at this. When Mike talked to you about some possible primetime candidates, he mentioned both New England games. He didn't bring up Miami, and I'm curious,
right.
You know, and you brought up the concept of some divisional games always being at the back end of the schedule because you hope that it's for a division title or a playoff spot. I wonder how the league looks at it when they schedule this, and this thing comes out in May. Is it, I mean, who's that next best team in the division? Do they look at Bills Patriots games as very valuable? Is it Bills Miami? Does it even matter? Is there a separation between them to say, okay, the division matchup we want for the Bills that we really need to focus in on is against New England? Or nope, it's against Miami.
They do think about that. I don't know what their thought is or prediction is on that. I'm not sure it matters as much as maybe thinking, okay, let's just make sure we do it in the middle of the season because, I mean, unless one of those teams is horrible,
uh-huh.
you're still going to have an intriguing, okay, you know, playoff possibilities. How does this look going forward? He even mentioned, what happens if you put Buffalo? I couldn't believe, like, someone actually said this from the NFL level, but it's true. That's how the crazy times we're living in. He said, what if you put Buffalo, New England late, and then the Bills run away with the division?
Yeah, right.
Right?
They and coached it too early.
Right, right. I mean, then you start thinking about things like that. But I think even though he didn't mention Miami, as you guys mentioned earlier, what he did say was the Bills are now the anchor for a lot of these games.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Now you bring opponents to them. So it doesn't really matter. He didn't mention Miami, but that doesn't mean Miami can't be put on.
Yep.
And as I mentioned on the podcast, it's like when I watched wrestling as a kid and SD Special Delivery Jones was the guy that you just kind of put in the ring to get beat by Hulk Hogan or whoever he was wrestling at that time, right? I mean, that's who the Bills kind of used to be, but now they're the team going in. They're the Hulk Hogan or Andre the Giant, and the SD Jones is coming in to play them.
Yeah, the sacrificial. Hey, who's this guy? Doesn't matter. He's just in there to lose to the other guy, so don't even worry about it.
Right.
One other thing you guys covered, and this is going to be new as well, the Monday Night Football version of Wild Card Weekend.
Going to be interesting. So the NFL is moving towards last year. They were going to do this last year, but they couldn't because of the pandemic and travel and protocols and things like that. But they're going to do it this year. Hopefully everything stays on track. Two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, one on Monday night during Wild Card Weekend. Obviously, if you play on Monday night, they're not going to schedule you for a Saturday game. It will be Monday, Sunday for the following week. You know, they'll make sure you don't have that travel restriction. It's just that they're taking away one Monday night game from opening weekend. There will only be one, not two, but they will put one Monday night game on wildcard weekend.
The I'll let everybody get a plug in for the podcast, let everybody know where they can get it in a moment. I did want to just give you a heads up. You know, the NFL rule stuff came out yesterday. Not that there was anything significant, but officials are going to crack down on taunting. So I do not want you finger-pointing other sideline reporters anymore and yelling stuff across the field at them. You're going to get penalized for that. So behave yourself.
And that could happen because two of my good friends are, we have this little sideline reporter fraternity, as you know, some of us, but my friend TJ Reeves is the Buccaneers sideline reporter. My friend John Harris is the Texans sideline reporter. You know, we could throw down, you know, during a game at some point. So we got to make sure that we don't do that.
I need you to be more respectful. No woofing. I don't want sideline penalty on the Bills. Sideline reporter was taunting. I don't want to hear that.
Do you remember, though, there was a sideline reporter for the Browns who got suspended a few years ago for yelling at the official on a call.
Yeah, see, that's probably not a thing you'd want to do. I feel like
that won't be happening with me. I can guarantee you that.
The hell are you calling? Are you blind? Yeah, I don't think that would go over really well.
It was a pass interference call. It was crazy. But
whoops.
You know, they are going to, I guess, crack down on it. But remember last year, Josh Allen, he spins the ball. After he scores against the Chargers, he gets called for taunting. People debated whether that was a good call or not. Was he actually looking at him? Was he taunting?
And the Diggs touchdown in New England, he points back at the guy. They're going to throw a flag on that now.
Yeah, they're going to try to make that a bit of a point of emphasis. So,
whatever.
You know, we'll see where that goes. But I'll make sure I don't cost anybody 15 yards.
Please, yeah. So your podcast, not just the Mike North episode, but your podcast in general, South Sports and Stuff. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find it?
Yeah, people could just Google search it, South Sports and Stuff. It'll come up on our Odyssey platforms, and then you can just listen from there. There's a download button there. If you're an iTunes listener and subscriber, if you're a Spotify listener and subscriber, you know, you can go do that. And again, you know, I just want to thank everybody. It's really cool to see your name up there with, you know, some of the big people and the big podcasts, you know, 110 in the world right now via iTunes, which is super cool. And, you know, maybe it'll go a little higher, but, you know, it's kind of been something I've checked in every once in a while, like, boy, you know, how do these people have all these downloads and listens to get on there? So, you know, it's really cool. And I just want to thank everybody who's listened. Again, like I said, I know a lot of it's because of the guests, but, you know, that's what makes the podcast good and special, so let's just keep it going.
Hey, I forgot to mention this too. One thing we also learned, you know, the release of the schedule, the days of it coming out before the draft are gone.
They're gone.
It is now always right. Tell me, I have this right? He mentioned that they just didn't think it was a good idea to have the schedule come out before the draft. So from now on, the schedule will always come out after the draft.
And the only reason that happened was because last year during the pandemic, they had to keep pushing it. Then they realized, hey, this is actually good.
Yeah.
So you know what? We should just do this in May anyway, because then we can own April with the draft. We can own May with the schedule release, which will be May 12th this year. And the NFL owns every month in some capacity. That's what they want to do. So May 12th is the date. And judging from my talk with Mike last year, I guarantee the schedule is not even done. Like it's 3 weeks away.
I was wondering
they're still
about
going
that.
Through.
Yeah.
No, there's no way. There's no way. And he even mentioned, like, part of it is because you do see what happens in the draft. And if suddenly there's a juicy matchup, they're like, oh, I mean, how do you know a player doesn't get traded to a team? Or there's a quarterback that goes somewhere you didn't expect, and that creates a storyline, right? So you have to keep those windows open. So I guarantee you the schedule is not completely done. They just probably have most of their big games pretty much locked in. The other thing is, too, going forward, as you guys mentioned earlier, that AFC, CBS, NFC, Fox thing is basically going away completely, I'd say, by 2023, but it's already started to go away over the last year or two, and it's going to even more so.
All right, sir. Thank you. Good stuff. Enjoyed the interview.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sal. Sal, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Ours is reminding you about the draft. Speaking of the draft, how about the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021? We've got it for you, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network on Odyssey. You can join us now through Monday, the 26th, for the biggest mock draft event all year. Locked On local experts are making selections, and the Odyssey football experts, including Michael Irvin, Ross Tucker, Jason Lockenfora, Brian Baldinger, offer their analysis. You can get the picks, trades, insight from all your favorite NFL teams by subscribing to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We are Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It would be impossible for us not to look at some of the bigger Bills games this year and think to ourselves, those are absolutely slam dunk, home run national television games. What ends up happening is a team like Seattle a few years ago or a team like Buffalo right now, they sort of transition from being the opponent in the big TV game to becoming the anchor. And so instead of, oh, remember that Monday night game when you played Dallas and we had the 50-yard field goal at the end, you know, that was a Dallas game on national television. And that was how the Bills got on. Now, the Bills are going to be the anchor for Monday Night Football, and they're going to be pulling along somebody else who might be not quite there yet in terms of national brand awareness and, you know, heading for another playoff berth. You kind of switch from being the opponent to the anchor. That's where I think we are now in the Bills transition.
That's Mike North, the Vice President of Broadcasting for the NFL, part of his conversation with Sal that we were talking about. Really, I thought that was really interesting. They are now the anchor in terms of matchups that they want on national TV, in a national TV window. Now we just have to find a team to match up against this anchor. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Do you pro or con opening night? It's not going to happen, so don't worry about it. Thursday night opener, Bills at Tampa. What would you think of that? Like I said, based on what this guy said yesterday, I would not expect the Bills to open on Thursday night.
They're anyway, in the mix, but yeah.
They're absolutely in the conversation, were his words, but it sounds like they're not going to – they don't need a big-name team in the matchup on Thursday night. It's just, hey, it's the opener. Watch.
Staunchly against it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure where to go with that. I was just going to ask you about this whole never pick them to beat Brady policy.
Yeah, I'm never going to pick them to beat Brady.
I know. I was just trying to think of a scenario where you would actually pick them to beat Brady, but I don't.
I will never.
It's not like he's leaving Tampa and going to the worst team in the league.
I would still not pick it.
You would. If Tom Brady announced
that's
today.
That's how the policy works.
If he announced today, I want to be traded to Jacksonville, and the Bills play the Jags this year.
I don't know. Does he probably have a relationship with Urban Meyer or something? I made the vow years ago. I will never pick the Bills to beat a Tom Brady-led team, and that stands. I will never pick it. Doesn't mean they can't. I'm just never going to pick it. I'm not going to look like a fool again.
Do you know, sir, that if the Bills beat Tampa this year, Tom Brady will now have a losing record against the Bills in
In Tampa.
In Tampa. I mean, it's just he's still 32-3 or whatever it is, I think, from New England. So he's, they could Bills have a ways to go to kind of shrink.
I'd rather that game just blends into the year, and it's kind of like the Arizona game last year where it's, hey, good game against an NFC team. What happens? Oh, they lost. All right, move on.
Move on and go on a win streak.
The opener sets the tone for a season. I know it's only 6 days until the next game, but if it's a Thursday night, now it's like 10 days till the next game, and I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, they could, of course, win it, but – no thanks.
Yeah,
I'd rather get to Tampa sometime later in the year.
It's funny. It's I don't know. I mean, it's just because it's NFC or whatever. I used to, I wanted no part of Brady there. No. Whatever. They're not going to be in the opener. But if they did, I wouldn't be freaking out because he's not in the division. It wouldn't, if they lose to Brady, it certainly wouldn't bother me as much as losing to Brady with New England and twice a year, as opposed to one time in Tampa where it has no impact on the Bills' playoff chances other than an overall loss on their record.
The real question is it a hot take to think that Eagles coach Nick Sirianni doesn't know what he's doing?
Rock, paper, scissors, huh?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about that? Go ahead and set it up for folks.
To gauge the competitiveness of draft prospects.
Yeah, by playing rock, paper, scissors on Zoom.
Yeah.
Although I guess it doesn't matter if you're in person or Zoom. It's still the same concept.
I mean, maybe it's a cute story.
I thought it was really strange.
A follow-up story would be, are you telling me if a player was not competitive enough, you dropped them down your board because he didn't play rock, paper, scissors with you?
That's what I wanted to ask you. You're a lot smarter than I am on this stuff. Okay, so I did see that, and I thought, and I get it. Over the years, we've heard players talk about silly questions they get and all the different things they're trying to get into my head. So I wasn't like, what? But I just thought, really? Rock, paper? Okay, that's weird. So he's trying to gauge competitiveness of prospects. He played Jeopardy, I think, right? Didn't he say they also played some Jeopardy with some prospects? What's the competitiveness you get from rock, paper, scissors? Is it if the guy gets angry if he's losing? Is it if he keeps winning in rock, paper, scissors? Is he taunting you? What is he looking for specifically to figure out competitiveness of a prospect by playing rock, paper, scissors? It's got to be reaction, right?
I think it's just coaches have to coach.
Okay, because I'm trying not to be a jerk here because I saw that. You got to be freaking kidding me with this stuff. Rock, paper, scissors? I'd look at the guy like he grew a second head. What's he using?
Probably means you're sitting in the room and you think, I don't have anything to add, so what should I do here?
Could play rock, paper, scissors.
I've got an idea.
Like, I could actually think, like, does the coach sit there and think, okay, I'm going to learn about this guy's personality by how many times he goes rock, how many times he goes paper, and how many times he goes scissors? And if he's lost two or three in a row, does he start getting angry? Does he leave the Zoom meeting? I mean,
Wouldn't you want a player that sees that and maybe says, why are we wasting time?
Actually, that would be a refreshing answer. Like, coach, we're talking about practice. Let's talk about games. Jeopardy, huh? What'd you think of that? They actually put Jeopardy games together for prospects.
Pointless. Waste of time. Right?
I wish that would have happened. I would have loved to have Brandon being on the show after that so I could ask him, what do you and Sean McDermott do? Do you have a game of choice? Do you try and play video games with prospects? Or, I don't know, tic-tac-toe, nobody wins, you see how frustrated he gets? Yeah, it was kind of odd, but whatever. I'm not sure that anything anymore a coach or a GM could say would actually leave me speechless, which is bad because my job is to actually talk about things
I'm
on
sure
the radio. But you look at it and go, whoa, what the?
And that's not even close to like the worst thing, I'm sure.
No, of course not.
And the most pointless thing that these teams do.
No, I mean, you talk about some of these interviews where people were asking about parents and, I mean, really getting out of crossing the line about personal stuff. It's just kind of odd that a coach would sit there and think, okay, and this is a first-year coach, too, rookie head coach. He's got his first head coaching job in the NFL. We're lining up Zoom calls. We're talking all these prospects. Okay. What do I want? How can I get something out of these guys that I really need to know in our draft evaluation? Let's play rock, paper, scissors. Like, I don't even know how you get to that. I need to learn about their competitiveness. A good game of rock, paper, scissors would give me insight. All right. Anyway, what do you prefer, rock, paper, or scissors as your first throw?
I can't tell you that. Then you'll win next time we play.
I was just judging your competitiveness. That means you're really competitive.
That does, right. I didn't want
to
give away a secret.
You didn't want to give me the answer, so you are super competitive. That was a test. You passed.
I always go for dynamite.
There is no dynamite in rock.
It doesn't matter.
Dynamite blows up everything. It would blow up rock. I mean, that's how they built tunnels. So, yeah. Pick of the week on the way with Jeremy in just a moment. Hey, Casey Mittelstadt from the Sabres coming up with us at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He'll load it up and a shot, rebound, scores! There it is, the game winner. Tyler Ennis has won it for the Buffalo Sabres in game five.
In by Weber. Weber takes a shot, the rebound, they score! On the rebound, pumps into the net by Tyler Ennis. You want to be a hero? Tyler Ennis is a hero. And the Buffalo Sabres win it in overtime.
Seriously? 10 years?
10 years.
Fudge cookies.
Officially 10 years now since Buffalo's last playoff win.
All right.
Sorry.
No, I mean, I'm skating along. I was like, this is like driving 60 miles an hour. The show's going great. Jam on the brakes and run into a wall. All right. 10 years.
Time for the pick of the week. Brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales.
Is it the next Sabres playoff game?
No. I'm going to be a little bit more like you, and I'll tell you why.
That's probably
and how.
Not a good thing.
I know. It's definitely not a good thing. I'm not proud of it.
No, you shouldn't be. Yeah.
Pick of the week is a beautiful 2016 Dodge Charger from our friends at Riverfront. Marty Sr., Marty Jr., are Western New York's experts in finding quality pre-owned vehicles from all over the country, including many luxury vehicles. This Dodge Charger is a four-door sedan SE model, excellent condition, a ton of extras, white in color, sleek exterior, powerful 3.6-liter, six-cylinder engine, automatic. You can own this for $16,995 only at Riverfront. Now, if you've never had a Dodge Charger, is a Charger or the Challenger that I told you about that Vroom Vroom story?
I think it was the Challenger.
Yeah, it might have been the Challenger. So I've never driven a Charger. It looks like it might have been a Charger.
Oh, all right.
Either way, sweet car. So, pick of the week. You know the Oscars are this weekend?
I think so.
They are.
Yeah. No, I've seen a little ad for it on YouTube the last couple of weeks.
The Oscars are this weekend, and for the first time that I can remember since being an adult and having watched movies, I have seen none of the nominees for Best Picture.
Yeah, that's like a pandemic thing, you know?
Yeah, I think so. It's a lot like you. You often haven't heard of it, don't know about
it. Yeah, but that's because I have no life. I'm bored.
In a regular year, you haven't seen any of the Oscar movies, and I would have seen a couple of them. I mean, I try to seek them out and take a look at what the Best Picture nominees are. Best Picture nominees are The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari.
Ooh, Mank was good.
Oh, you saw Mank. Okay. Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7.
I've got a couple on there. Oh, that was outstanding.
I've got a couple on there that I've like marked to watch, but haven't gotten around to, so I've seen none of the nominees.
Can we just take a moment and soak in the historical nature of this conversation? I've seen more Oscar-nominated movies than you have.
It's bad. It's real bad.
You should be embarrassed.
It's the sign that the universe is
the
not
okay. The apocalypse is coming. Yeah, I'm seriously. You need to rethink about your life, young man. I got you beat 2-0. This is never going to happen again.
No, I don't expect it to.
This is rarer than Halley's Comet. And that's every 75 years.
I think it's 76.
Oh, was it 76?
Is it 76?
I was thinking it was 75. I thought it was 75. Wasn't Mark Twain born and he died when Halley's Comet came? He was born and the next time it came, he died? I thought it was 75.
I don't know. You talked to him, didn't you?
I always used to say to him, you know, Samuel Clemens is a good name. I have no idea why you're using this Mark Twain thing. Wow. Okay, so I don't know, the other movies you mentioned? I've never even heard of him. So I'm still me. You should be happy about that.
Yeah.
But Mank was good. Mank was a little slow at times. I'm not going to lie. It had its moments where it really dragged, but I liked the idea of it.
Isn't Mank one of those movies about Hollywood?
Yeah.
I'll never watch it.
You have to, like, he wrote Citizen Kane.
Great. So you have a good time.
And I find the movie fascinating, and I so I watched it, and I'm not gonna lie, there were times where it's dragging. Trial of Chicago 7, I thought was riveting from start to finish. Absolutely. But now again, I'm a history guy. Yeah. But I thought I was only 6 at the time of that convention. So what the hell do I know? I mean, I've read about it. But to learn the stuff I learned about it and everything that happened in Chicago and everything that happened in the trial and the backstories, really, I think you would like it. I think it's a fascinating movie.
Yeah, that I'll watch. Mank, I'm going to be watching and waiting for a dragon to show up.
Yeah,
right?
You'd find it boring.
Yeah,
it's in black and white.
I don't like movies where Hollywood makes movies about Hollywood. Really often I'm like, what? No thanks.
I thought there were some interesting parts to it. Like I said, it's not going to hold from start to finish. It is not an edge of seat thing, and no, by no means. And the other stuff, I have no idea what they were.
Something else I was going to mention. Oh, anyway, pick of the week. What's my pick of the week? So we are rewatching all the Marvel movies.
Aren't there like 8,000 of them?
There are 22.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
My wife has not seen them all. She enjoys them. I have seen maybe a third of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'd seen the Iron Mans, and I'd seen a bunch of the Avengers. I'd not seen Avengers Age of Ultron. That's what we're up to next. I'd not seen any of the Captain America movies.
Hmm.
You know, I'm not against comic book movies. It's just, oh, I'll see that one. I'll see that one, too. And I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. But I hadn't seen all the Marvel movies, and here I am. The Captain America movies are great.
Are they?
They're really good.
I stopped watching these all together. I don't know why.
I really liked both Captain Americas. The first one and Winter Soldier, and there's another one on the way. So, yeah, that's what we're doing when we're trying to get babies to go to sleep.
Terrific.
Watching those movies.
Well, you got plenty of time to, you know, yeah.
Maybe I should put Mank on. That'll put them to sleep is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you would. Have you ever seen Citizen Kane?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to do the whole, what? But it's I don't want to say it's an acquired taste.
Isn't Mank also purposely in black and white?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pass.
Yeah, I so you're
no
more
thanks.
Into the color movie realm?
I mean, color film, and they decided let's do black and white? Like, you're just being a jerk at that point.
Well,
just put it
in
color.
It's a mood thing. You should, when you get a chance, I'm not going to tell you, you know.
Citizen Kane, when I get a chance?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long movie. It's a kind of weird at times, but it's good. I think it's good. I just watched it again a couple weeks ago, so you should watch it when you get a chance. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Rosebud. When we get back, Casey Middlestat's going to join us next. That's up. WGR.